Praise God. We've been talking about leadership, the governing of the church. Spoke about how our own particular church is governed. And we look at different models of operating a church. And the church is not an organization. The church is an organism. The church, though it's an organism, has an organization. Because things need to be governed and need to be run properly. Hallelujah. So we looked at that, praise the Lord, and how our own particular church is run. Praise God. I want to just look at different aspects of the church this morning. Hallelujah. There are many analogies of the church in the Bible. And none of those analogies gives a complete picture of the church. It's very, very difficult to describe this thing called the church. How it functions and the many faceted aspects and truths that are encompassed in the church. If you think of the church as just an organization, it'll probably tick you off. And then you will go away and say, well, that doesn't work for me. Now, the Bible says that the church is the body of Christ. And many times when we are angry at people, we cut the body of Christ in halves. And we make no excuses about that. We poke holes at the thing. And we slice it. It doesn't matter how, but we cut it into pieces. We forget that the church is the body of Christ. And in doing what we do, we slice the church, we slice this body in different ways until we almost is about, it kills the body for us from our perspective. It doesn't actually kill the body itself, but it kills it for us. Are you alright? Now, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, when you criticize the church, you think you're more higher than the church. Now, the church is not perfect. And if you're looking for warts in the church is covered with warts. But if that's all you look for and you slice them, it'll bleed for you. And it will not give you any benefit because you're too busy cutting it in halves. The Bible says, don't think that you are better than everybody else. Because many times when we do that, we think we are the judge. You're not the policeman of the body. You're just part of the body of Christ. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, if you don't like the Roman Catholic Church, let me say something to you about the Roman Catholic Church. It'll help you. There are more Spirit-filled Christians in the Roman Catholic Church than all the Pentecostal churches in the planet. Now, that will help you. Because many of us think, well, they worship idols and things like that. We know that about the things that, but there are more Spirit-filled Christians that love Jesus within the Catholic Church system than all the Pentecostal churches put together. Are you all right? That will help you. Praise the Lord. So it says this. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has dealt to each one in the body a measure of faith, and God has dealt to each human being a measure of faith. you will never stand before God and say, I did not know you. Why? Because the God that created you has put part of His faith into your heart. God has put eternity in the heart of the human being. Whether you believe in God or not, God has put eternity in your heart. Are you alright? The guy Darwin, when he was dying, Lady Hope visited him, and he said to Lady Hope, why don't you gather the household and read the book to them? Lady Hope said, what book? You know what he said? The Bible. What else? See, you can be arrogant in your youth. That's why the Bible says, remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth, because one day you think it's no good to you. But how can a man write all the things that even today you can't erase, but before he died, he recognized that the Bible is still God's book. Why? Because God has put eternity in the heart of every human being, and God has given to each one a measure of faith. You can never stand before God and say, I did not know you. You will run to hell. Hell will be a refuge from the face of God because you know that you've denied Him. Are you alright? Then it says this, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. If you look at a church, and maybe the whole function of that church is an arm. Guess what? You're going to criticize them. Why? Because they don't do things the way you are if you are a leg. Are you all right? We are members. We're members of one body. All the members don't have the same function. Are you okay? Now, my nose is on my face, but my nose has never met my ear. But they are still on the same face. In fact, if they are not on my face, I would not look very normal, would I? Now, if I put my ear and replace my nose with my ear and put my nose where my ear is, how many know that's not very nice? But they're still on the same face, and they never met. The only way they met is the distance. The same skin that is here runs across out here, but this has never met this. But they're still part of the same body, and they have very different functions. Now, if you meet somebody who's a hand and you are the ear, you can't criticize the hand. Why? Because one day the ear may be itchy. And when the ear is itchy, you can't pick your other ear and put it there and the other ear. No, when your ear is itchy, what do? You scratch the ear, and what do you scratch the ear with? Your hand. Hello? Say amen. Amen. And then he says this, we are many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ. We are one body in who? In Christ. We are one body in Christ. That we may come from different places, educated differently, have different ethnicities, but we are one body in Christ. A Pakeha is no more in Christ than a Tongan when they're both born again. We're all in Christ, and we're members of one body and are united in Christ. Are you okay? So a Baptist and a Roman Catholic and Assembly of God, they are all born again. They are one in Christ. There's not a Roman Catholic Jesus. And there's not an Assembly of God Jesus. There's only one God. And there's only one mediator between God and man. And it's not Mary, it's a man, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Look at it. It says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually of one another. So individually, we belong to one another. You are part of me, and I'm part of you. And Ruth said to Naomi, your people shall be my people, your God shall be my God. And you are part of me, and I am part of you. Whether you like it or not, you've got me forever. You better like me now, because you're going to have to deal with me for the rest, forever and ever and ever. Hello? Because you're part of me, and I'm part of you. Now, you look at this body. The nose is part of the head. What affects the nose affects why? Because individually, we're part of one another. And individually, the nose is part of the eyes, part of the ears, part of the leg. And what happens to the nose happens to the body. Are you all right? Now, Winston was taken to a Starship hospital. Many of you prayed for Winston, that he'll come out of what he was in. Now, Winston's whole body was there. But they don't know. They say maybe there's some swelling in the brain. But that little part of the brain, when it got affected, the whole body seized. The hands, the legs, the mouth, the ear, everything seized. Why? Because it's part of one another. The part of the brain, whatever it is, that got affected is part of the rest of the body. When that part got affected, individually part of one another, when that part got affected, it affected the whole body. Somebody falls in America and affects us here. We cry. Why? They're part of us. We're part of them. Are you okay? Now, the body is not just what you see outside. How many know that the whole of the outside can still be whole, but if you... Hello? I'm trying to find the word to describe. I've forgotten the European word. The Samoan word is hatulala. And some of the Samoans that are here don't even know what that is. Hatulala is when you take all the organs out. What is that called? The undertaker does it. What's it called? Embalm. You take everything out. Now, the whole outside may be whole, but when the inside is not there. Huh? See, what happens outside is from inside. And when I rip out everything inside and sew you back up, everything outside still looks normal. But you're no longer alive. You're dead. And you're dead as dead is dead. Why? Because part of your body is inside. You can't see it. And I don't care if this outside body is so well groomed. And, you know, we comb our hair and hello? I almost said paint, but I realize you don't paint your face. But I don't care what you do outside. When the heart inside sees, the whole body. Hello? Peter Fatialofa was in a marketplace in Appia, and his heart ceased. That strong man who used to push his crumbs and take pianos from one household to the other, even though he was, something happened. Why? Because the heart is part of the muscles, is part of the brain, is part of, and the Bible says individually, you are part of me and I'm part of you. Hallelujah. Many of you don't know. Some of you have lost loved ones. And you grieve. What about a pastor who fathered them in the spirit and you fed them every Sunday? Have you ever thought about a pastor when members of his congregation leave? Every single one that leaves affects him. To you, to affect just your own household, but when it comes to a church, every parishioner you bury affects your heart. Are you alright? So individually we are part of one another, and sometimes you may dislike what happens in the church, but you'll forget that the very people you dislike are part of your life. Are you alright? So, this analogy of a body is an analogy of the church. But as I said, none of the analogies has the whole picture of what the church is. Hallelujah. Now, how do you govern a body? We're talking about governing the church. How do you govern your body? And is there a way to govern your body? Is there a way to lead your body? The Bible says you present your body. The Bible says you put your body under. So how do you govern this body? Are you guys alright? The Bible says the government shall be upon his... So... the shoulders of the body, these shoulders, upon those shoulders is the government of the body. And what is on your shoulders? Your head. Your head governs your body. Let me tell you what's in your head. Your eyes are in your head. Your ears are in your head. Your nose is in your head. Your mouth is in your head. And your brain is in your head. And when you govern the body, you govern it from that headquarters that you see, you hear, you smell, and you eat. You feed the body from your head. You guide the body from your head without vision. The body perishes. So, vision is in your head. And if your eyesight is not good, if your eyesight is dark, then the whole world for you is what? Dark. But if your eyesight is light, then it doesn't matter what you see, you're going to see light. Why? Because your head has vision. Without a vision, people perish. Your head has ears. What do? You hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you get faith because you've got ears, and ears are in your head. And your head governs your body. Some people need to use their heads. How many know Mexicans got heads? And Samoans got heads? And Filipinos got heads? And Europeans got heads? The government of your life is in your head. And if you think as a man thinks, hallelujah, you discern in your head. You smell discernment. And you live from your head. Why? You eat and you drink. You imbibe. If I close your nose, If I shut your mouth, if I blind your eyes, if I block your ears, are you okay? Is this making sense? You're so quiet. You make me nervous. But the government is on his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Hallelujah. So when your eyesight is unclear, what do? Get a pair of specs. When you can't hear properly, what do? You go see PJ Fomui. Why do you do that? Because you want to hear. Now God said, God's problem is not talking. God's problem is us hearing. That's what the book of Psalms said. I created the ear. The reason I do is because I talk. And all those are in your head. All the ideas you have come from your head. If you mess up in life, it's because your head is messed up. And the Bible says, renew your mind. Be not conformed to the things of the world, otherwise you'll become a homosexual. Do not be conformed to the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. If you've got a mind, educate the thing. How? With this. You'll be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And when your mind is renewed, you will know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the will of God? Renew your mind. When your mind's renewed, you'll know the will of God. What's the will? Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Because when you renew your mind, the will of God will just be known. The reason you don't know the will of God is because your head needs to be renovated. Hallelujah. Are you okay? You right, Ninja? Hallelujah. I'm not angry. I'm just talking. But the body is an analogy of the church. Now, the Bible says the head can't say to the foot. Now, that's an amazing thing to say. The head, where the government of the whole body is, the head can't say to the foot, I've got no need of you. Where is that? 1 Corinthians 12, all right? Just write it down so you can go home and read about it. Now, who's the head of the church? Who's the head of the church? Jesus. Now, it's saying, even the head of the church, who owns the church, needs the foot. And the head can't say to the foot, I got no need of you. If the head of the church needs the foot, how much more do we need each other? Are you okay? We need each other. Hallelujah. Hey, he's got two, you haven't got one. Go find one. You. Faith's got two kids, you haven't got one. Go find a kid. Go get your own baby. Stop coveting other people's babies. Find your own baby. Abby, give him a baby. He carries around with everybody's baby. That's not your baby. Zoya is James's baby. Go find your own baby. Call him Eliafi when he's born. How did I get on that? Hallelujah. The church is called a house. The house of God. Now, how many know homes have home rules? Houses have house rules. You don't just mess up your own house and then just go and just live. When you mess up the house, what do? You clean it up. Forget the idea of just turning up to church. See, when we turn up to church, everything is clean. And then we nice seats and we sit down. And then we think, well, somebody else is going to clean it up. I'll just turn up and it's presented for me. Now grow up. If you mess up the house, clean it up. I said to the kids, they said, oh, we're going to have this and this in the church. I said, don't you mess up the church. I see them, you know, they do high jumps here. You thought you'd, they're high jumps in the church. Oh. And you come on Sunday morning, the church is great. It's perfect. Why? They clean it up. They use shaving cream everywhere. I said, I don't want to see any shaving cream in the church. Don't eat in the church. Why? Because homes and households have house rules. Forget the... No. This is not a club. This is not a club. This is a church. This belongs to us. It's everybody's responsibility to look after the facility. And I told you, if I find anything on the benches in the kitchen that I'm not supposed to be there, if I find any clothes there, guess what? I'll burn them. Why? Because clothes are not meant to be on the bench in the church. Dishes are supposed to be there, but not clothes. Now you know that at home. And you have to kill your kids when they don't do what you say. And then you come here and you think you can do whatever you want. This is our home. This is our house. Look after the things. Let the sons and the daughters sing. Where? Of this house. And who look after it? The sons and the daughters of the house look after the house. Don't put your chewing gum underneath the chairs. Those are your chairs. It's only in the church where you ask people to donate for the hangi and then you sell it back to the same people that donate the stuff. We ask you to bring the stuff and when we cook it, we'll sell it back to you. Why? Because this is a house. And Paul said to Timothy, son, if I'm late in coming, know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Hallelujah. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. You know why we're the laughing stock of the nation? Because the church itself don't know truth. Just 2 weeks ago, the first gay marriage was performed in a Christian church in Auckland. By a Christian minister. Now, people looking from outside, I said, well, Dave, if we're confused about the truth, what makes you think the world will not be confused? Why? Because the church has different standards. We say it's against God and against the laws of God and against the Bible. And then with the same Bible, we'll go and do the same thing. And the people looking, well, they don't know. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. And the truth is, God did not make Adam and Steve. That's the truth. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Do we love Steve? Yes, we love Steve. But... it's all right, Ninja, we're not talking about you. but the house, unless the Lord builds a house. And our problem sometimes is the Lord is not building our house. We're just building our own. We decide what's truth, and we discern. We think we got the discernment. Hello? How many know if you ask a kid 4 years old, is it right for another man to marry another man? The four-year-old kid will tell you it's wrong. But it takes a professor to tell the kid it's right. You have to be educated to believe something stupid stuff. Are you all right? Say amen. Amen. Let me read something to you. And something, it was an essay I read just recently. And this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to feminize God. They want to use, I mean, we want to be so politically correct, we want to use, you know, female and male terms to just address God. So this is something of what they do. And there's a whole sector of the church with that pen. It says, they want to rename God as she. Now, this is what the essay says. In renaming God as he, she, feminists strip God of independent, personalized existence. And when they insist on not addressing God as father, judge, ruler, master, or king, they castrate God's character and attack the very essence of who he is. Cassian, that's a writer who is against this kind of thing, notes that father, judge, ruler, master, and king are names that are not merely figurative. They reflect the true aspects of God's nature. God is king. God is judge. God is father. Some theologians want to replace the traditional Trinitarian formula of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Or Source, Servant, Guide. Virtually denying the Trinitarian tradition of the relationship between the Godhead. You see, well, there's a whole sector of the church that are trying to feminize God. And in Australia, they've got churches now in Australia that actually don't believe in God. But they gather together to sing songs of worship. And then they get a message. Any message will do. You can't live in Whanganui and think the rest of the planet lives like you. So I'm talking to you because if you're not careful, guess what? Your disengagement from the church is going to drive you to a direction that you would never ever thought you would be going. Are you okay? One writer denies the central role of Christ in Christianity, and she's a Christian theologian. The other one denies the fatherhood and authority of God. One of them says this, God is going to change. We women are going to bring an end to God. Don't say that. That's reality. And these people have influence. You know why? They got PhD and PhD after their names. What is PhD? Post hole digger. If they believe that, that's what they are. Post hole digger. I'm not denying that PhD is a great achievement, but when they believe that, they're just a post hole digger. Now, they come up with crazy, and they want to change the language of the Bible and virtually rewrite the whole Bible. You say, Pastor, They want to rewrite the whole scriptures so that you don't address God as Father, but Mother. Now, if you want to do that, now, there's no denying there are feminine aspects regarding God in the Bible. Jesus said, "How I long to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks." The kingdom of God is like a woman who lost her coin. So there are feminine things in the Bible regarding God, because God is not man as far as sex is concerned. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. All right? But Jesus himself said, when you pray, this is how you pray. Our Father. And to deny that is to rewrite the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. You can't rewrite the scripture. Hallelujah. Now, the word wisdom in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is likened to a woman. All right? And that's the typology. But the word wisdom is called Sophia. Now, Sophia is the name of a woman. Now, let me read this to you. This is what they write. According to this particular lady, the wisdom literature personifies Jesus as a female, Sophia, or wisdom. She writes, the earliest theological interpretation of Jesus' life and death sees Sophia as the messenger, and later Jesus is Sophia herself. Let me tell you, there's a whole heap of literature, and there's a whole heap of theologians in the church that actually believe that stuff. And they have absolute influence on, that's why many, if you're not ready to go to a Bible college, don't go yet. I've seen young people's heads messed up because they go too early to a Bible college where there's too much liberalism in the way things are taught. Now let me say something else. In a Bible college, the last book you use is the Bible. You use everybody else's writing about the Bible, but if you quote the Bible directly, they won't mark you correct. They'll mark your essay down. Wafa afetai, wafa afetai. I'm just singing in the heavenly tongue. Some theologians believe the language of the church alienates women and assigns them to a more inferior status than men. That's a drum beat that's been beaten over and over again. Are you okay? Rosemary Ruther argues that the male has no right to image God, and those who image God as male are guilty of idolatry. Are you right? And then they said, the maleness of God was a cultural and linguistic accident. I just want to disabuse your brains, your mind, so that you can understand that if you keep on being critical many times because we don't understand what goes on and don't appreciate what God is doing in the church, many times that's the way we'll go. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, why don't you read Romans? Yeah. Romans says, because they were not thankful, they ended up, hello? They ended up desiring one man desiring another man and one woman desiring another woman. What was the source? Lack of gratitude. And when you, everything you see in the church you disagree with, and there's a lack of gratitude, don't ever be surprised if you begin to go down that tension. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen.